Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 21st of December, recording from London at 9:46 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Well, I said I'd discuss Peter Bennett's brief market comment, warning, I should say, at the start of this audio. Now, I wouldn't be dismissive of any of those points. First on Peter Bennett, I've got a lot of time for him. I've known him virtually all my financial career in the UK at any rate, and he's a very successful guy who's good on the macro research, mostly on the UK market, but he obviously has to look very closely at Wall Street, and he makes money, and that's obviously, if it's not just the bottom line in this business, it's the only line. Now, he does err towards the bearish side, and that's not a criticism in the sense that he'll play it, but while discussing the risks and watching the short-term momentum as well. But far better to be bearish and to be a bit early than to be naive and swept up in emotions of the day and to be late in terms of spotting signals. Now, I was certainly aware of a number of these factors. I've got mixed views on the director selling ratio. I think the game's changed quite a bit since we had all the incentivization, particularly in the United States, in terms of shareholders' options. So rising share price is guaranteed to bring forward the exercising of some of those options. You know my best case scenario. I've said that I felt that we were on course to run well into the first quarter of this year. Well, that remains my best case scenario. So the higher this market goes and the more it reconfirms, I want to emphasize that doesn't make me more bullish. I'm gratified to be able to come on again and say I don't see any sign that the rally is over and therefore it is still worth playing. I'm not getting more bullish. I'm getting less bullish because with each tick on the upside, we have to, inevitably, markets have discounted more of the upside potential. And to state the obvious, all great rallies end in failure. Now, when's that actually going to occur? Well, I'm just happy to take this on a day-to-day basis in terms of assessments. I don't go in much for targets, which are just guesstimates anyway. And I look through the charts in here today, and I'm particularly interested in following what I regard as lead indicators. And the Australian Stock Market Index is as good a lead indicator as I think we have for this cycle. I focused on that one particularly because it is an important developed country stock market, but I'm also looking at a lot of emerging market stock markets. Now, a lot of these, and also Australia, one would say, well, they're largely resources based, and that is somewhat true, but the resources sector has been, in terms of the supply and elasticity trades, and that's been a very, very important section of the market. But obviously, it's not just the resources sector, because you've got a lot of mining shares underperforming following the shakeout that we'd seen in the precious metals sector, yet the Australian Stock Market Index continues to hit new highs on an almost daily basis, and it's a very orderly chart. Incidentally, I remember all the way back in, relevant digression here, all the way back in 1987, as stock markets were beginning to accelerate upwards, none was more consistent than Australia back then, and it had the biggest acceleration of all, which made it easy to see, and it didn't take too much savvy to appreciate that once that lost its form, that we might well be we might well be in trouble. And I think the same case, the same applies today, although we would have to motor a good deal further to create the conditions for a stock market crash. But I'm not talking about a stock market crash, I'm talking about this good rally ending at some point in 2005, quite possibly within the first quarter, and then I would expect a quite significant and probably medium-term correction to unfold. Now, a little bit more on this rally. I said the other day, I think it was late last week, I said that while I've been referring to, for the most part, to the rally that commenced in mid-August, and that's when we got those terrific upward dynamics, that given the two-quarter and a bit, calendar quarter and a bit, gradual correction that we saw on most stock market indices, it wouldn't have felt like that gradual correction if you were long and riding that out. But when we look at the weekly charts in particular of various different stock market indices, you see this gradually ranging lower corrective phase for most stock markets. But that really represented a significant multi-month pause within the overall stock market rally that began in March of 2003. So really, we're coming up to a rather important two-year, or we're heading towards a rather important two-year anniversary in 2005. And if you accept the hypothesis that the U.S. stock market is in a secular bear trend, as you know, defined as a generational long process of P/E ratio contraction, then a two-year technical rally is, technical bull run, is, well, that's pretty long in the tooth. But again, these are all possibilities. Peter Bennett also mentioned liquidity, and liquidity is the factor that I've cited most frequently in terms of actually driving this particular stock market move. Now, it could all fizzle out relatively soon and without much more in the way of gains, or, again, to state the obvious, this could go on running and indeed lead to some further acceleration, or if you haven't seen it yet, some clear acceleration, or where we haven't seen it yet, some clear acceleration on the upside, which would make it easier to spot the eventual peak. I would hope for the acceleration because we'll do better in the short term and have more opportunities to lighten positions and get out, and that would probably set markets up. Well, undoubtedly, it would set markets up for a good downside move, which would certainly also be playable by those of you who are willing to trade. Now, which of those is it going to be? Well, I don't know. We can't know. But given seasonal factors, given the optimism that's building up, given the considerable amount of liquidity that's still around, and given that my three big threats are not on center stage. They may not even be on the stage much at all. They're mainly in the wings. And that's the oil price, which is off that low at $40, but is not causing alarm right now. The US dollar is not causing alarm right now. And interest rates are not causing alarm right now. Now, all three of those factors are likely to cause alarm at some stage in 2005, I believe. But they're not problems now, so as long as the rhythm and consistency of these uptrends is maintained, well, I want to play them, and I haven't taken anything off the table yet, but that will certainly be my next move. Okay. Now, I don't like to go into too many personal digressions, which is presuming on your time, but I'll just say that I went to one of those exceptionally good, rare occasions for me. I'm usually a backroom boy, you know, having munching something at the desk. But I went to one of those rather splendid thank you lunches, and the wines were so good that as I left this place in the heart of London's shopping area, I wandered into this rather splendid arcade that I hadn't seen previously. I think it was called Gray's Arcade, which had a lot of jewelry boutiques in it, and spent a fortune on Mrs. Fuller's Christmas presents and also our daughter's Christmas presents. So I need some trades here. I need the money. So where are the profits going to come from? Well, I'm optimistic that we'll get some further run in the stock market. So that looks good to me. India hitting another new high in here today, but there are a number of markets that are still hitting new highs in here. Japan, interesting. I think we've been up 4 days in a row. Well, you've got to go back quite a few months, I think, to June, to when the Nikkei stock average lost had four consecutive days on the upside. It's really been a dog, very much a laggard in here, but the hope always was, or there's got to be hope, hasn't there, that was that other markets would do so well that the Japanese stock market would begin to look cheap by comparison, or, you know, Buggins turn and all that. But it has perked up here, and I wouldn't be in the least bit surprised if we didn't see that run a bit further. Nikkei today at, let's see, 11,125. So I could easily see another 375 points hanging up to the 11,500 area. I think somewhere between 11,500 and 12,000 is possibly very much on the cards. As that's a speculative position with me, I may well come out early if I see a few more hundred points in that market. Now, generally, say that the stock market momentum will provide some of the very best opportunities, in the sense that when you get a consistent strong move like this, it's pretty well all one-way traffic until, of course, it stops, and then we have to be very, very careful. The subsequent reaction will be at least as rapid. Now, government, let's move on here. Government bonds, this is not rewarding here at the moment in terms of my short positions. JGBs remain firm. U.S. Treasuries ended up, well, after hours trading here, up 14 on the day, 14.30 seconds, 112.29. My four or five, I think five baby steps positions that I've got, the top one is up at 113 or 113.01. So I'm out of the money on that right now. And I'd like to see another downward dynamic right about this time. Of course, the market doesn't care what I want. I think that the risk is not all that great, given the overall topping characteristics in this market. But I would really like to see some more follow-through on the downside here in the short term to reaffirm my overall top building hypothesis. That's what I expect to see. But I can't count on any quick profits in that area. I just in saying that, and I'm recording this rather late, I want to make sure I didn't mislead anybody. I'm not having a change of heart on this. I'm quite happy with my big picture scenario on these government bonds, but in terms of a short-term opportunity, I can't say that I'm going to see the profit in that area, unlike stock markets, which currently have the trending form. Okay, in currencies, this could well remain a promising area. I'm still of the view that the dollar's rally is nothing more than a short-term technical move, although you know I have never been in the dollar collapse school. I think that's just not Not a viable, not a viable script, but I would elaborate on that now. I'll save it for the Friday audio. And my sole position there remains the Australian dollar long. That's a third of my original position that I had. That's firmish in here today, 76.50. The buck pushed up, beg your pardon, the euro pushed up to 134.09 against the US dollar and then backed off, currently trading around 133.70, 71. Sterling reacted a little bit, so the dollar was a bit steadier in here overall, but not against the Aussie, as you know from that quote I just gave you. Now, precious metals a little bit softer on gold here today, in line with the steadier dollar, but I think the chart looks fine overall, and I expect this to range back up towards that psychological 450 area, currently 441 and a half. Silver, again firm, that could well be rewarding. I've got a position there. This is all predicated on the dollar not rallying or not getting a second win to the brief rally that we've seen to date. Silver 693 and a half on the March contract. Metals, the base metals were generally firm overall, and I really do think I should increase my positions a bit there. I'm not going to do anything aggressive, as I've said before, because I would be paying up in these metals, and if I'm going to be aggressive, or when I have been aggressive in the metals, I've only dared to do it following a quite significant shakeout, or when I've been able to add to positions on a trend and to then protect the initial stake and then go on building up or leveraging up the trend, but only when I've been able to protect the earlier positions within the money, in the money stops. Now they're not trending in that type of environment. They've been more choppy than that, but I certainly want to be long several of these metals, and may well increase my positions there. And natural gas. Now I did buy some of the Feb natural gas. I said that if natural gas came off, I would open up another long position. And we had that good day on Friday. The natural gas closed very strong, but then fell like a stone yesterday, and we had follow through in here today. So that's my picking up the February contract at 6.858, including costs. It's currently trading at 6.980. Now, if I see that firm, say, much above 7 tomorrow, if were I to see that, I would almost certainly take that position out. But I say I increased my position by, well, I didn't say it, but I tell you, I increased my position by about a third in here today. Crude oil virtually unchanged on the day, and I think that's about it. But my goodness, I did love that palladium comment, which is in the comment of the day. All the best.